ask me, you know, just write it down or whatever, or see me after the service, and I'll try my best to answer it. And I'm not going to make the choice. I want everybody to have responsibility to make the choice. And praise God. Let's read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, just one verse. And just want to talk about the heirs of promise for a few minutes tonight. Wherein God more abundantly, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Let's just bow our heads tonight. And if you have a prayer request, just raise your hand to the Lord. Praise God while we're praying. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we do thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, you said without a vision the people perish. We ask, Lord, for your help to carry out your vision and for your help to carry out your work. For we know except the Lord builds the house, they that labour in vain. But Lord, we believe we have heard from you that we are to go forward and we're to build upon the wall. And we're to let nothing hinder us from building that wall. For the will of the foxes go up and different distractions. But you've told us to continue on and concentrate on the building of the wall. And you've told us you're building the church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. We pray you lead and guide us concerning this hall, if it's not the right hall, that you will get us the right place. A place, Lord, that we can worship you and consecrate to you, holy to the Lord. A place where we can have a mission. And Lord, preach the gospel and pray for the sick. And believe you for to do signs and wonders amongst us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Father, I pray you bless every single one under this roof tonight. We thank you for having these buildings that we have, Lord. But Lord, we want to go on with you and on with the things of God. And go further for you, Lord. We just pray that you lead us and guide us in that, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, anoint us with the Holy Spirit tonight and anoint your word to the hearts of the people and bind every work of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless those that had the work this evening. Or any that had trouble and couldn't get it, bless them and undertake for them. And bless our brother Mark on his holidays and his family. Give them a great time, we pray, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. There's a brother rang me today as well. He's actually a brother man, but we prayed for his sister and the Lord touched her. They thought she had cancer and she was taken in, but it's not cancer. And he rang me, he's really over the moon about it. This man was having trouble as well. I told him he'd go blind, but he hasn't went blind either himself, and he's a brother man. But he believes in prayer. And he rang me today to tell me, God's good, God's evil. Praise God. Hear this word tonight, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. I tell you, our God's great. Now the persons to whom God has showed this supernatural abundant goodness are called heirs of promise. You and me are the heirs of promise. We are heirs with God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs with God. Right away, in your mind, you should have the answer here. Heirs with God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ means, straight away, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Kings and priests unto God, our brother Andrew mentioned it on Sunday from Revelation, that we're kings and priests unto God. We have a right to pray for people. We have a right to ask God for things because we're kings and priests unto God. And he's our high priest. We're heirs with the Lord tonight. And he showed unto us heirs this immutability of his counsel. There were counted heirs who have such of the right to inheritance. And we have the right to this inheritance because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord. And we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have a right to this inheritance. So we have a right as believers to the inheritance of Almighty God. We have a right to it. We have access through the Father tonight. Through Jesus Christ, the Father of the night, we have access. Heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Abraham was given the promise and he believed it and received the great reward. And didn't the Lord meet with Abraham? And the Lord gave Abraham a promise. Then God meets with Abraham. And he says to Abraham, I am thy exceeding shield. That's your protector. And then he says, I am thy great reward. So the Lord, Abraham had a need. And if you have a need, that's the time to pray. And God can answer you at the point of your need if you have faith. And Abraham had faith, and Abraham prayed to God, and Abraham's need was, shall this Eliezer be the heir? And God said, no. But if your own bowels, there'll be the seed. And you know, that was Isaac. And the promise not only fell on Isaac, but the Bible says that he would make Abraham's seed as the sand upon the seashores and the stars of heaven. And then we know when we're born again in the Spirit of God, we are the royal seed of Abraham. So we're heirs. We fall under the promise and the blessing of God. Isn't that wonderful? And he says to Abraham, those whom you bless, I'll bless, and those whom you curse, I'll curse. And the Word of God says that in the tongue is the power of life and death. You can speak negative or you can speak life. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. And that's why we need to guard our tongues. And put, the Bible talks about the tongue, like the wee bit that steers the boat. It's a small part of the boat, but it steers the boat, and that's the way our tongue does with us. And we are to be slow to speak and quick to hear. And we have the power of life and death in the tongue. And we want to be saying good things over our brother or sister, and we want to be praying for them and blessing them. And the Lord will prosper them. And the Lord will bless them. Amen. Praise God. The promise here belongs to the reward. See, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob are called heirs of promise. And then a reference to the land of Canaan, promised as a type of the celestial Canaan. And we have a promise tonight that Jesus says, I am going away to prepare a place for you. John 14. But I have come again and receive you unto myself. The Lord has went to prepare a place for us. Do we really believe the Lord's coming? We make such preparation down here for our own lives and our own comfort. But what about the Lord's work? We need to make preparation for the Lord's work. And I believe the Lord's been talking to us as a fellowship. That we need to make an effort and preparation for the Lord's work. Do you believe that? Well, maybe some of you don't, but I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I believe God wants us to make preparation. You say we're making preparation, we can do more. I believe we can make more of an effort. I believe it. I believe there's things we could do more. I believe it. You know, I've waited for 20 years for certain organizations or certain groups to ring me and say, come and do a mission, but they've never done it. Never done it. And I'm not waiting no more. I'm not going to wait no more and save the ring and do it. I'm going to go forward. And I'm telling you now, I want to take every chance God gives me. I want to take it. I want to be available for God. How many wants to be available for God? Really available for God. That you're not playing a game and mucking about, but you really are available for God. That if the Lord was to say to you in the morning, go, that you'd let nothing hinder you, that you'd go for the Lord. God wants people that's available. For I'll tell you, we talk about the second coming and we talk about the rapture. And when the rapture takes place, you'll not say to God, hold on a minute here, I'm not going today. When he comes for you, you're going. If you're sealed with the Holy Ghost, you're going. You'll not say to God, I'll wait for another week. When the Lord comes for you, you're going. And he's coming like a thief in the night. That's why we need to be ready right now. It's no use being ready in the week. We need to be ready now. Ready for the coming of the Lord. And the Lord's coming. And if we believe the Lord's coming, we need to have a heart's desire for to reach the lost. A heart's desire to go forward with the gospel. Hebrews 11 and 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, and in a strange country dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him in the same promise. Look at this, the promise that was made to Abraham and his seed that they should be heirs of the world was not made to Abraham or his seed only through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And that's why it's our promise, the same as Abraham's tonight, Because we're the royal seed of Abraham by faith. Look at Romans 4 and 13. Romans 4 and 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not made to Abraham and their seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And we are saved because of that same righteousness of faith. So we are heirs. We are of the same promise. Do you really believe where the Lord said to them, go up and take the land. Wherever this only your foot will tread, claim it for me. That's what God told them. Go forward. You don't, God never tells them to go backward. Backward in the Bible is a bad thing. You know Lot's wife looked back and turned the pillar solid. She should never look back. God does not want us to look back. The children of Israel stood at the Red Sea and cried, oh, you brought us out here to die. We long for the garlic and the mushrooms and all the stuff or whatever they had down there in Egypt. You know the story, how the Bible talks about it. They murmured against God. After all they'd seen, they murmured against God. And you know that God opened the Red Sea. God never took them back. When you hear William Branham's sermons and you listen to the messages of William Branham, he says God sends a man of God, a messenger, and he says God uses that man and a revival comes, and then after that they denominate around it and form an organization, and God moves straight on and it's left. And he says it every time. Every time it happens, every age. When the Methodists come out, there was nothing like them. You know that? The Methodists, you talk about preaching. John Wesley would preach in the morning before any of us would go out of our bed, he had a sermon preached. But the Methodists organized around that and it died. And God moved on. And then God sent us through the street revival. And it was a real thing. Let nobody ever tell you that Susan Street wasn't a real thing. It was a real thing. We need our one. And then God raised up a man, the spirit of Elijah, to bring us back to this book. Not so that we would have a reorganization, but so that we would come back to this book and preach the fullness of the gospel. That's what it's all about. To come back to this word, to preach the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God. And we saw the power of God displayed. We saw a manifestation of a Son of God in William Branham's ministry. We saw it. God was showing us. And we're to go forward for the Lord. Forward with the truth. Forward with the gospel. Forward to reach a lost and dying generation. That's what it's all about. If we lost that vision, we're wasting our time. You listen to the message of God of its evil age. And you know I've preached a lot of times a message called similar to that. And I believe God showed me the tactic of the devil to stop evangelism. People don't want evangelism. They're all for the teaching, but they don't want evangelism. And isn't it a striking thing that in the last days Timothy warns us that they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears with the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. They won't heap to themselves preachers or evangelists for teachers. And you think that angel comes to the prophet and he doesn't say to him, go out and be a teacher. He never told him that. He says, go out and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. That's what he was told. Wigglesworth went off the field in 1946. The angel of the Lord came to William Branham and commissioned him and put him on the field with a message of healing to the nations. And he said, you pray for kings and monarchs. And you travel around the world. What for? With the gospel. Everybody said God did the signs and the wonders so that we could have a doctrine. That's slightly true, but that's not all true. God sends miracles to attract attention to get people saved. That's the Bible. That's the way God's always done it. He never changes. Remember, God never changes. God's word never changes. If every other age organized, this age will be no different. But we need to go on with God. The truth that God said is still the truth. Yes. The original revelation John Wesley has, right?
That's right.
It's still the truth today.
Right.
The one Luther has is still the truth.
Amen.
The Pentecostal blessing and the restoration of gifts is still the truth. And all the things we've that came to us and revealed to us from this book today is the truth. How the original sin came, all the different wonderful things in this Bible, it's the truth. It's not to pick an organization so that we worship a man. It's to turn us to the Word of God that we will serve Jesus Christ with all of our heart and preach the Word of God. That's what it's for. So that we can reach people. Isn't it great recently that people could see it? Don't you want to see more saved?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bag of sweets. When you get the taste of it, you can't stop. Nobody agrees with the name. You don't know what it's like as a preacher when you see somebody come in a Bible way preaching and somebody gets saved. It's like a vitamin pill for you. It's like a real boost. And I know it's ultimately down to God to do it, but God's called us. We're His hands and feet. We are God's hands and feet. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And He wants us to go forward. The promise that was made to Abraham and his seed that they should be heirs of the world was made to Abraham and his seed through the law. But not through the law, but through righteousness. Hereupon it said to believers, this is for believers, Galatians 3:29. But if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Why did it say Abraham's seed? Because you're the seed of faith. Not the revelation that man got saved on, Martin Luther. I know I mention Martin Luther a lot. I'm not changed. For me, he's really something. See, the reason I mention him a lot, he was in darkness more than most of them.
Well, that's
the truth. Absolutely in pitch blackness.
Yes.
No darker room could you be in spiritually than the one he was in. He was in Rome. A monk of the Augustine order and of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of Spirit and His Word can open this scripture and speak to the man of that from one verse. God can do anything. And in one scripture Martin Luther came, the just shall live by faith. You'd see when a preacher comes and tells you don't need that no more.
Yes.
You know he's a false prophet.
Amen.
You cannot come to the Lord no other way than what you always came.
Right.
William Branham preached that hard. Jesus Christ is the only way. God will not change His mind about His Word. If God could change His mind and you could come some other way, then that would mean that God's changed. But my Bible says in Malachi 3, on the Lord thy God, I change not. Hebrews 13 in it, same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changed. You are saved by justification. Now we know then there's sanctification, which Wesley preached. When you read William Branham's messages, you know he said there's three things. Three things for the new birth. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the seal of God. You get justified, sanctified, then you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are sealed under the day of redemption. And it's never changed. That's the real gospel. And I believe it's real. See, here Paul has said to all believers, look also, all that are justified are called heirs. So when the Lord, when you are justified by faith, you are an heir right there and then. That's your first step, do you realize that? Once you're justified, you become an heir. Immediately, you're an heir. I'll show you from the Word of God. Titus 3, verse 7. That being justified by His grace, not works, not for the law, but for the grace of God, through Christ, ye should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So even if you just preach that part, it's still real. You understand what I'm saying tonight? If somebody didn't preach all of what I'm talking about, that still doesn't make them a bad person. Understand what I'm saying here? If they just preach this part, that part's still real.
Mm-hmm.
The person still see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how far they go on, that's another thing, but they're still saved. Now, if you're sitting doing nothing, there's no point condemning that part. Because you say you know more than that part. But what if the person that knows more does nothing?
That's right.
Yeah. I want us to do all the part, but I'm just making a point. It's by the grace of God we are justified by faith through grace. That's the key scripture in the Bible, you know, in Ephesians. Whereby grace through faith are you saved? That's your gospel text. And are led by the Spirit. Here, led by the Spirit. Romans 8, 14 to 17. 14, 17. Look at Romans 8. I'm going to have to finish in a moment. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. So if you're justified, you're heirs. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're heirs. Then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We're heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, led by the Spirit. How many wants to be led by the Spirit tonight? Amen. We want to pray in our understanding. We want to pray in the Spirit. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said the time will come when the true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. See the phrase here, joint heirs with Christ. By virtue of that union, they are adopted of God to be his children. Now, I do not believe in a fourth stage gospel. I want to make this plain tonight. There's people that are preaching when you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit that you have now to enter into the works program. That'll bring you into adoption. I don't believe that. I do not believe it. I can't find scripture for it. Read what the Word of God says here. Listen to this again. Joint heirs with Christ by virtue of the union, they are adopted of God to be children of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4 and 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoptions of sons. When they're redeemed. When you're redeemed. When you get the Holy Spirit, you're a son of God. How could you not be a son? How could you do something more to make you more of a son? You couldn't. You're really a son or a daughter of God. How many can see that? That's the Bible. But I'll tell you what I see. I see that people preach another stage and they bring people into bondage. Because they preach it in such a way that people think that they haven't just made it just yet. There's something more they're going to do. And then they go further. They say, when you do this, you'll go to the rapture. Nonsense! Did you know that's not scripture? There's not one thing you can do to quicken the coming of the Lord. Jesus says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father. It's a secret. The coming of the Lord's a secret. That's why Jesus said in the same as the desert, go not out. Don't believe it. No man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father. Do you believe that tonight? Now, if I could have a recipe or a doctrine that could make the coming of the Lord quicken up when it was preached 20 or 30 years ago, why is he not here yet? You see, that's a man's idea. It's not the Bible. When you go back to the foundation, which is the Word of God, it's not on it. It's a man's idea. Now, that's what they call clearing back with a brush. The rubbish at the foundation. How many swim with me here? That's clearing back the rubbish. How many understand what I'm saying? If it's not on the Word of God, it's rubbish. It's wood, hay, and stubble. I don't care who says it. It's not on the foundation. It's no use to us. You can't. It's no use. Built on top of it, it'll fall. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says there, therefore if any man be in Christ, may look also. And also regenerate, which means to recreate. Now, when you're born again in the Spirit of God, you are recreated. You're a new creature. That's the Bible. A new creature in Christ Jesus. You don't need to go through some program. Because if you're really born again in the Spirit of God, you are a new creature there and then.
Amen.
That's the Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. Some people don't really get born again. That's why they can't change. But if they're really born again, there's a change. There has to be. For the seed itself will bear witness what it is when it puts forth. Amen. If you plant an apple tree, you're going to expect apples. An apple tree. And when a man and a woman is born again of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, the new creatures in Christ Jesus, they're saved and they're changed. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So we are quickened from the dead. We're made alive. We're new creatures. New creatures. I'm going to have to close because I don't want to hold you as long. I want you time to pray. You know, there's a fellow in this meeting and he used to be able to curse well. I'm just telling you this as a testimony. But you see, when he got saved, the first thing that people noticed that worked with him was he didn't curse no more. And they said, "How come you've quit cursing?" And he said, "I'm saved." And there was an old brethren man said, he caught him with a shirt and he says, "Are you not a sinner then?" And he said back to him, "I'm a sinner saved by grace." And we're all sinners saved by grace, but we are new creatures. We're no longer what we were. And you can't judge yourself on your past, or you can't judge me in the past, because Jesus says that it's washed away. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's gone. You're the new creature. The blackboard's clear. He's made it clean. He's given you a new start. And he wants to lead you by the Holy Spirit. You're a new creature. And if you're in Christ, you've already made it. There's no such thing as will I make it. You have already made it. Amen. Because it's the Lord's righteousness we're depending on tonight. Let's come and pray and seek the Lord tonight. And don't forget, Sunday morning, our brother John will be preaching, and then my dad on Sunday night. Pray for brother John. Pray for my dad. And pray for me as I go over to England as well. I have to be preaching probably over there as well. Preaching all day. It's a break, you know, when it's different. They say a change is as good as a rest. But I want us really to pray about this hall tonight, sincerely. Whether it mightn't be the hall we need, but we need to go forward. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. The Lord bless each and every one.